All right, halfway home on a Tuesday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Halfway home on this show, again, I don't know if you heard this, A.J. Preller's coming up at 9.30. First chance to talk to A.J. in quite a while. We did not get a chance to catch up with him at spring training, which is rare for us. We usually get the sit-down interview.
I didn't even see him out there.
I saw him once.
So I saw him. We walked over, and then he walked away from us.
Yeah, well, he was leaning against a fence. Yeah. I know, like, it's your job, but I still sometimes don't like to bother them. I just feel like a big burden, and I don't like to bother them.
I saw his family at spring training more than I saw him.
I saw his mom and dad. Around. Yeah, they're on the cart. Yeah, I remember that.
But I do remember seeing him like briefly for a second, but he's usually always walking around that whole area, the patio. He's
got a bucket cap on. You know,
if you were the embattled general manager of a Major League Baseball team, then I think that's fair to at least call A.J. Preller embattled.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly what, you know, Eric Grubner and Eric Kutsenda are thinking. Kutsenda did say during spring training, you know, everyone's being evaluated here, including AJ.
He's got to be one of the longest tenured GMs in the game right now.
He
right?
is
second,
third or fourth.
Cashman, Rizzo, Preller.
Yeah, he's had that job for a long time. So if you were that GM, I mean, would you try to like dodge the questions? Would you take it on, you know, head on and just?
It's funny you bring this up because Chris Rose, who we love on this program, he does his Chris Rose show. I can't remember the name, but what is it?
Chris Rose Rotation.
No, this is the one he does with Trevor Plouffe, and I think Trevor Plouffe is outstanding. By the way,
it's some baseball pun like every other podcast like, around the bases,
around the horn. From the mound to the bullpen.
Infield fly.
Between the lines.
Between the, 100%.
Over the out of the yard.
The sack bunter. Like it's one of those.
I can't keep him straight.
He's great. But they were actually talking. They were talking about Peter Bendix and what he said. Paulie, if you go to Chris Rose's Twitter if you can and see if you can find the comments that he and Trevor had about Peter Bendix, who was the GM of the Miami Marlins. And they kind of took him to task a little bit for not being completely forthright about their plan, okay? And the trade that just went down with Arias coming here and some prospects going back, you know, they said, look, man, you're lying to your fan base, and you lied to your fan base at the beginning of the season. I guess I have a not a tough time with it because I think it's true, yes. But again, plans do change, and you do have to. That job is thankless.
Okay, that's a good point because I don't think AJ ever came out and lied to everybody. And he's not ducking the media. He met with the media a couple of days ago after the Arias trade. Did a scrum in the dugout in Chicago. But you know, when the off season started, there was that speculation. Well, the Padres' payroll is going to have to come down. It's going to be around $200 million. Where is it going to be? Clearly, in hindsight, the plan was reset the luxury tax.
Oh yeah.
Now, was that ever made clear to the fan base? No. Has anyone actually from the Padres said out loud, we need to reset our luxury tax level. We need to get under that number this year to avoid the escalating penalties. I certainly understand it. I'm not an unreasonable person. I understand how it works. I understand there's competitive disadvantages to continuing to go over the luxury tax. Even the Dodgers tried to get under last year.
Yep.
It's not an uncommon strategy in Major League Baseball, especially the way the collective bargaining agreement is laid out. But they didn't say that. Now, you can make the argument. It doesn't do them any good to just announce to Major League Baseball, we are cutting payroll. Come exploit us for all of our talent because we can't afford anything. You don't necessarily want to just trumpet that out there. You want to play it a little bit, you know, coy and not necessarily reveal all your cards, especially going into the offseason. But in hindsight, that's the plan, right? I mean, you don't ask the Marlins to pick up all of Luis Arias' salary and throw in extra prospects just to stay under the collective bargaining tax agreement level, the luxury tax level, if that wasn't a huge part of your plan for this year. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. But that was not made clear at all to the Padres fan base at any point, especially going into the offseason.
Here's that audio.
That goal of making disciplined moves towards a long-term, sustainably successful future, that goal remains our top priority.
Well, which goal is it? You've had a goal from day one. You just mentioned two goals. One's to keep one eye on the future, one eye on the present. And then you said our goal is to make disciplined moves for the future. Like, where are we at? I don't think they're keeping their eye on the present whatsoever.
No, because the present, nobody wants to look at this, even with one eye open. It's horrible.
I just don't want him don't lie to your fan base.
Well, now, hold on here. I agree with you there, but that's why he said we're always going to have an eye on the present. Because if he says, well, we're playing for 2027, then
that's
really
lying to
nobody's
your fan base.
Up the game.
It's lying to your fan base. They're not
of course they are.
Eye on the present. Just say, hey, look, man, we don't like where our organization is at right now. We think last year, you know, maybe it was a fluke.
Oh,
we have the pitching, but here's my plan. Present your plan, dude.
I think that's fair. I do. I think that's fair. Presenting your plan of saying, look, man, this is good. And I've seen Mike Elias, I think that's his name, the GM of the Orioles, seen some podcasts he's done recently. Now, he's feeling great because his team is firing on all cylinders. They're doing fantastically. So, yeah, he's a little more amenable to go on a podcast and talk about how great things are going. But it was lean. You know, it was very, very lean for a long time. And I do feel like the Orioles were pretty transparent with what they were doing. They were cutting payroll to draft, to develop all these players that they've developed. Now, I mean, that is about as homegrown of a team as you can get. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you did it. You're doing it the right way. AJ Preller has done it differently in his tenure here. Peter Bendix, I don't know that he knows exactly what he's doing at this point.
Well, you don't want to hear your general manager use words like disciplined decisions. Even though, you know, having some discipline is never a bad thing necessarily. When that's the message, that's code for we're going to cut costs,
yep,
and we're not going to aggressively try to acquire talent because we don't mind losing because we're rebuilding and hoping that we'll be good in a couple of years.
You know, it's funny, too, because at the beginning of this year, we did hear people categorize this season for the San Diego Padres as what? I mean, we heard a bunch of different words to describe it. Transition. That's a transition year. You know, we had to get rid of Juan Soto. Couldn't afford to pay him. Needed to get something
back. Reload.
Yeah, things like that. And you know, I'm going to belabor the point of when you are committed to so many guys long term, you're not really in a position to rebuild. You're just not. I mean, unless, again, you're going to spend a fortune getting somebody to take some of the contracts that you've offered and you also have to attach prospects. You're going to spend so much money to get back to zero. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I like this direction. I like this team right now where we are. I know they're 500, but hey, man, I feel like it could be a lot worse.
Rebuilding teams don't trade for Dylan Cease.
Correct.
Rebuilding teams don't trade for Luis Arraez.
Correct.
The Padres are trying to have their cake and
eat it too. That's exactly right.
I used the metaphor yesterday. I'll use it again today. AJ is walking a tightrope.
Tightrope.
He needs to cut costs, but he also needs to win, and he's trying to push the edge of everything that is possible. And it's one thing that you don't really see other GMs try. It's like, why?
Seems all or nothing, doesn't it?
It seems all or nothing with so many other teams. It's the let's bare bones it, Astros, Orioles, until we're rock bottom, and then start building up again. Padres never really did that. And I'm gonna give AJ credit for that. Even when they were bad, they were never 110 loss bad. They were never.
But many people think they might should have been. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you could just skip through the pain of the 2-3 years where you're one of the worst teams in baseball, get all the great draft picks, save all the money, and then invest it. Yeah, it feels good on the back end of that when all of a sudden you're the Astros and you've got tons of young talent and you got money to spend and you're competing for World Series titles. But you can't skip through the pain. The pain is awful.
The pain's terrible.
And the fan base doesn't deserve the pain. A fan base that sells out the ballpark almost every single game doesn't deserve going through a 100 loss rebuild season. So the Padres are trying to do it both ways.
Well,
their payroll is not what the Orioles or the Astros was. It's still at the maximum. It's still in the top half of baseball,
sure,
what they're trying to spend to put a winning product on the field,
but
while they're also having to retool a bit.
Tony said it's almost like AJ's being a GM, and I said that at the beginning of the year. Our GM is going to have to do some serious serious GMing this year. He's going to have to general manage his ass off. And I don't want to say for the first time ever, because I, you know, there have been some really, really good moves and acquisitions, and
it's possible he's better at being like a real GM than one who can just sign anybody he wants.
Anybody he wants.
He actually wasn't that good at that,
right?
He probably, even when you got the players he liked, he may have overpaid for them.
Sure.
He might be actually better at this.
So
like,
far,
hey,
yeah, so put, far so good.
Put a handcuff on him, you know,
it's
make
a good
him
way to look at it, honestly.
Make him be creative, make him, you know, work a little harder for his supper, and he might actually be better at this job than the one you had him doing the last couple of years, which was, let's go for it, all shackles are off,
yeah.
Get whatever you want. Wasn't really AJ's wheelhouse, apparently.
That was fun, though, wasn't it? Jeez.
Never
fun
boring.
Fun to cover. Never boring, certainly. So AJ Preller will join us at 9:30 this morning in about an hour and 20 minutes. But no, it's just interesting. It's interesting the direction of so many different teams in baseball. And
all sports teams lie to their fans, though.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
To a certain extent.
I think it's part of the nature of being in a no, you know, a zero-sum game business. Someone wins, someone loses. You're competing with other teams for the same title. You can't just be transparent and honest all the time. It's a competitive disadvantage to be fully honest with your fans while other teams are not doing that.
I wonder, dude, sometimes when you see some of the returns going back, and some guys have hit certainly at the big league level. Of course. Every GM is going to trade talented players away that flourish in other markets with other teams. But, man, you do wonder sometimes, like, the cachet that he has with many general managers, and he's got some trade partners he clearly likes dealing with more than others and like dealing with him. But you do wonder at some point, like, is that ever going to run out? Or are people just buying that kind of AJ Preller medicine that, oh, if he drafted him and they've developed him for a year or something, like, we really, if he saw something in him, yeah, he's worth trading this frontline starter
for. I think there's such a wide range of outcomes to AJ's trades.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, the Guardians are certainly happy with, you know, Josh Naylor,
yeah,
and
hardly
what they ended up in their trades. The Mariners have no problem with the deal they made with. But then the Rays, who always win trades, didn't get anything for Blake Snell, essentially.
Nothing.
None of the players they got back for Blake Snell, who won a Cy Young, and even though he left, they get a compensatory draft pick. That was a huge win.
Massive.
For A.J. Preller in that deal.
Dylan Cease is a huge win right now. Huge.
I mean, throwing Jake Cronenworth in a Tommy fan, that looks like a huge win for A.J. Preller as well. So there's a very wide range of outcomes. There's some big wins. There's some big losses. There's some trades that kind of in the middle, which is true of most general managers.
Just nobody has the volume that he does.
He just, yeah.
It's the volume. It's the volume of trades that is just staggering. And you wonder how he keeps it all together sometimes. But so far, so good this year.
He's fearless.
Yeah, he's absolutely fearless.
He's fearless. I'd be much more hesitant
you
to
think
pull
so?
Off the kind of deals that he makes.
I mean, it's convicted.
You can't go back. I mean, once you've made the deal and pulled the trigger,
yeah,
it's done, and you got to live with the consequences. And he keeps doing it over and over again.
Crazy.
He's not afraid to shoot his shot.
Blew me away. Blew me away with that Arise deal the other night.
It's great for us.
Yeah.
It's great for the fan and the media business to cover A.J. Preller. You'd rather cover A.J. Preller than Peter Bendix.
Any day of the week.
Oh, my God.
Any day of the week. It's not close.
Is it Dolphin season yet?
Yeah, that's exactly where their heads are at right now.
Not good. Did you see Pat Riley's comments yesterday?
I saw that about Jimmy Butler.
Can we talk about that just for a second
back?
Okay. Got a short segment, then Jesse Agler's going to join us. But some spiciness from one of my all-time favorites, Pat Riley, yesterday. Get to that coming
up. Sorry, everybody.
After a check of traffic, it's Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Way to go, Paul.
So the big picture question here is, is an athlete who is injured and not able to play still able to comment on his own team and, you know, what he thinks should be happening? That was the crux of Pat Riley's comments yesterday. Did a postseason kind of
presser.
State of the Union address for the Miami Heat after they were eliminated by the Boston Celtics in the first round. And someone asked Riley, do we have the audio, Paulie, when
I
we find?
Do not.
We can. We probably might be able to find it. But someone asked him
we're
about
on fire this morning.
Jimmy Butler's comments that he said, hey, if I was healthy, Boston, they'd be out. We'd be taking out the Knicks, essentially.
There we go.
Basically saying that, you know, hey, if I was there, it would be a whole different ballgame. And Riley was having none of it.
You know, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut.
Wow.
And your criticism of those teams.
Pretty hardcore from a coach about
keep
his
your mouth shut
star player.
About his own player, one that they're talking about a potential contract extension.
Is he, he's not a free agent.
He's got
agent.
one more year. They have another year before they have to decide. But to me, that is a clear sign that perhaps they're ready to move on from Jimmy Butler.
Is it clear, though?
If he's willing to say that publicly, just keep your mouth shut.
It's Pat Riley, though.
It is Pat Riley.
He's been around the block for 40 years doing this, man.
He's definitely got a little more leeway than most executives.
He does, and
I know, you know, players today, though, they don't want to hear...
I
don't hear someone in the front office telling them to keep their mouth shut. Do you think Jimmy Butler's going to react well to that? I don't.
I don't know, man. I saw that too yesterday. I went, ooh, spicy. That's pretty spicy from a head coach. Keep your mouth shut. If you're not on the field helping us. You know, Pat Riley, for all his cachet and for all the great things he's done in basketball, given the choice, doesn't the ownership of the Miami Heat say, yeah, we'll ride with Jimmy Butler? Right, Jimmy Butler's going to help us win more games than Pat Riley will.
What is Riles? He's the president?
He's our president.
GM?
Yeah.
Both?
So, yeah, president, I mean, I don't think there's a decision made that has not run through Pat Riley.
Yeah.
But Spoelstra's, you know, he's got a lot of power now as well. And, you know, Riley made Spoelstra. Now, to be fair, Riley said many positive things about Jimmy Butler. He talked for a long time. He said he moves the needle the most. He's an incredible player. But when it came to a contract extension, he said, that's a big decision on our part to commit those kind of resources unless you have somebody who's going to be there and available every single night. That's the truth. Doesn't sound like he's a big fan of load management either.
No, probably not. But again, you know, I mean, it is hard. Like, I think it's fair to say, like, man, maybe the outcome would have been different, you know, if I could play. That's what's going to stick with me all offseason. If had I been in there, you know, maybe we could have made a run. That certainly sounds different than, oh, I would have sent these guys home easy if I was in there.
Ultimately, every player in every sport gets hurt at some point. I mean, they're... How many athletes never spent a moment on an injured list any time? Yeah, Manny Machado is known for posting, but even he, you know, had to miss some time. You know, he was off yesterday. No one can play every single day.
Cal Ripken,
the Iron Man. So I guess he's the only guy who can ever talk about anything because he's always out there.
He's always
you can't
on the field.
Simply revoke a player's right to have an opinion because they occasionally get hurt just like everybody else does.
Yeah, fair enough. It's fair enough. Did you guys see there was a shooting at outside Drake's house? That's breaking news.
No.
Shooting outside of Drake's house this morning.
Do we think that Kendrick is involved?
I doubt very much, but that's kind of...
Seems very obvious at this point.
This is what we were talking about yesterday. It's all fun and games in a song until... Listen, I would bet anything it had nothing to do with Kendrick Lamar at all. But I bet, what if somebody was trying to like come to his defense? And people are crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That's why you don't want to start this mess. You don't want to start it. So, yeah, we'll keep
Investigation
you.
Investigation into a shooting that left a man badly injured.
Oh, injured. Somebody got injured. Outside? Inside? Where is it? Where is it going down? Which house?
Entrance to the property at Park Lane Circle. Taped off early Tuesday morning by officers. There was heavy police presence at the area. There will be an update in about 2 minutes from Toronto's Integrated Gun and Gang Task Force.
In Toronto. Wow. Okay. Well, see, this is all fun and games.
Shooting happened overnight.
Interesting.
No comments as of now.
Interesting.
Saw that Drake is just taking L after L L. Like, I saw they played Kendrick's song at the Dodger game yesterday. They're playing it throughout nightclubs all across the country.
Yeah. Gavin Lux is coming up to bat with one of the new diss tracks. So, yeah. So, it is taking on a life of its own. Jax wants to know in the chat, Woodsy was in a gang, right? No, I was not. No, I've never been in a gang. You ever in a gang, Ben?
Let me think.
Yeah,
the academic team counts as a gang,
kind of in its own special way.
Do you have to commit crimes to be in a gang, or can you just be Like a tight-knit group of friends.
A nice gang.
Yeah, nice gang. I was in a nice gang.
We're in a little bit of a gang. We have a gang mentality.
Tier 1s are just like one of the biggest gangs in San Diego.
That's true. Oh. And they're nice.
We don't tag things. I don't really like graffiti.
I don't really like graffiti either. I appreciate the art form of it.
I love it when it's done,
But I don't. I would be, if my kids went out and tagged stuff, I would be furious.
Yeah, me too.
Furious. Like, if they went and toilet papered something or did something, you know, I'd be like, all right, kids will be kids. You would tag something, you're not going to be happy when you get home. You don't go out and tag things, all right? So that's my personal.
Did you like those silhouettes that they do with the back?
It's good. It's
the drop shadow letters.
It's really cool.
Big time, you know, go to for the tagging and the graffiti.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it on the freeway overpass.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I never had I never was a part of a gang. Like, I didn't have to do an initiation or anything like that. Don't think I could have handled it.
No. It's usually criminal behavior, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I did a lot of criminal behavior.
Did you?
Yes, but...
But you never...
It was not organized.
Unorganized crime.
Unorganized, yeah.
Unorganized. All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, Jesse Agler will be with us. It's an Incorporator Tuesday. See Jesse's thoughts from the Windy City in Chicago. That's got to be one of the better road trip stops during the season, especially when you get to go in May, which is a pretty nice month, I believe, in Chicago.
So many tier ones out there, too, having a ball in Chicago right now. So jealous.
And it's coming up next. Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Pretty good start to a road trip. Padres have taken 3 of the first 4. They will have game 2 at Wrigley Field against the Cubs this afternoon. Another 4:40 first pitch, 3:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. But joining us in just a moment after we check traffic, the voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, will be with us from the Windy City. That's coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Got a little relief out of Escondido on 715. Accident has cleared before the 78. We still have this other crash up ahead, though, at Valley Parkway. It's in the center divide in the clearing stage. Now westbound 78 past College. There is a collision involving 3 cars. It's in the center divide. South 5 Coastline before Loma Santa Fe. Accident involving a couple cars. That is over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
So Jesse is with us, and now that they have the balanced schedule, Jesse, you know you're going to every ballpark at least every other year in baseball, but I've got to imagine when you go to certain cities makes a difference. May in Chicago seems like a great time to visit the Windy City. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a top-tier stop, top-tier ballpark, top-tier city. But yes, it can be impacted by weather. Last year we were here, wasn't that long ago. It was like, you know, late April. So not that different in terms of the calendar, but very, very different in terms of the weather. We were freezing last year. We had the hand warmers in the booth. That's like the kind of nights that we had last year. And then yesterday was absolutely, you know, gorgeous. It was cool. You know, it was windy, but it was beautiful. It's raining today. It's supposed to be fine by the time the game starts. But no, I mean, definitely... You know, not necessarily the kind of place you want to run into the first couple weeks of the season because of the cold, but we're also wimps. So, you know, that's a big part of that.
What's the worst combination like for you? Like St. Louis in August or like where's like the dreaded spots on potentially on the baseball calendar?
Yeah, probably St. Louis or Cincinnati in August. You know, like, you know, one of those inland, humid. Because, like, you know, Miami and Tampa, granted, they're domes, but, like, you know, you can escape it a little bit with, like, a coastal breeze. But those sort of landlocked Mississippi River, Ohio River, late summer humid, those are the ones. I grew up in South Florida, one of the most humid places in the country. We had a game in Cincinnati a couple of years ago in the summer where I was coming up, you know, the tunnel from the clubhouse to the field for, you know, before the first game, and I walked up into the dugout, and I swear to you, I have never felt humidity like that in my life. Like it was the worst feeling I've ever had in terms of like weather in my life on this planet. And it was just, you know, like a normal day in Cincinnati in August.
What do you do on a day like today where you're in a hotel room in Chicago, beautiful city outside, but it's dumping rain? I mean, is that like I'm catching up on emails, I'm catching up on shows? Watch Baby Reindeer, by the way, on Netflix. If you haven't yet, it's brilliant. You'll love it. Do you catch up on shows, or you're like, all right, I'll go out and brave it. I need a Chicago-style dog. What do you do today?
Honestly, today was like I slept in. You know, I try and get a little sleep, catch up. I'm peeking out the window now. It looks like I might have cleared up a little bit for the time being. But yeah, like I think today, just sort of how I'm feeling, I'll use it as a rest day for sure. You know, kind of like try and be lazy, hang around the bed, go get a cup of coffee, something like that.
Sounds
and then
beautiful.
Just try and relax. Yeah, you don't get to do that very often.
That sounds so wonderful. I texted Jesse last night and, you know, priming the pump for today's appearance. And I said, look, I personally don't really enjoy bullpen management talk. I know it's a necessary evil of the job. And I just wanted to get your take, Jesse, not on last night's game, but bullpen management in general. I told the guys this morning, I told the audience too, I'm about 99% pretty much going to side with the manager, right? I mean, these guys make good money. They are paid to get out. Sometimes they don't, and you have to change your plan.
You're not just telling Mike Schilt you disagree. You're also telling Ruben Niebla you disagree.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I kind of put it on the players 99% of the time. Now, if you're dragging Yuki Matsui out there 5 days in a row, like that may be mismanagement. And things like that have happened in the big leagues. But kind of wanted to get your take on last night's game and bullpen management in general.
You know, I think I've said this to you guys before, but it's probably worth repeating a couple times a year. I think that as fans, and I put myself in this category, there is probably not a less understood part of baseball than bullpen management. You know, I think we all have a pretty good understanding, and I think people who randomly watch and listen and go to the games have a pretty good understanding of like, all right, you know the mechanics of most things. You understand why the batting order kind of is the way it is. You understand, all right, it's probably time to take the starting pitcher out. All those sort of managerial decisions we like to discuss, I think we make very informed conversation about. But I think when it comes to bullpen management, there's probably the biggest gap for like your average fan in terms of what they do and do not understand. The average fan is not sitting at home at night charting, all right, here's the last time this guy pitched. Here's how many pitches he threw. Here's what happens generally when he goes back to back. Oh, you know what? 2 out of 4 is okay, but 3 out of 5, probably not for this guy, but it's okay for that guy. Well, you know what? He had a lot of stress pitches the last time he threw because he came in with the bases loaded and one out. Like all those things are the things that Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla are talking about and discussing and using to make their decisions. And those just frankly aren't things that, you know, people on their couch or even me sometimes or Tony are going to be thinking about in the moment, because we're just not thinking that way. We're not pitching coaches. We're not bullpen coaches. We're not managers. And then, as you said, sometimes it comes down to, hey, this is who you got. And, yeah, like, this is their spot. This is their role. And, like, this is who needs to be out there right now. So I think it's, again, I'm not, you know, saying fans don't understand, but I think those of us outside of the room understand less about this piece of the game than probably any other piece of the game that we sort of talk about with any kind of regularity. And look, there are no brainers. Like you know, up to in the ninth inning, you know, unless he's been, you know, run into the ground, Robert Suarez is coming out. Like we could all make that decision, but a lot of the in-between ones, you know, especially in a game like last night, all right, it's 6-0, it's 6-2, you know, those are the tweeners. And, you know, sometimes you just got to run the guy out there who's the guy for that situation. And obviously you have to pivot and make a decision, you know, if something goes sideways. But I think a lot of it is obvious and a lot of it's common sense. But when it's not, I think that's probably one of the less understood things we all talk about.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I said earlier, I think, like, the plan yesterday was probably Yuki Matsui so efficient, get 2 innings out of him, you got the big lead, yeah, and then anyone can do the last 2 innings, you save your bullpen for the next day. Didn't work out that day, and all of a sudden, Mike Schilt had to manage by the seat of his pants, but, you know, got the job done thanks to some incredible work by Robert Suarez, especially there in the eighth and the ninth inning. Jesse Agler is with his voice of the Padres. And Jesse, I know you spend like the offseason prepping and putting together your files and notes on each player. So I'm curious, when there's new additions in the middle of the year, like Luis Arraez and Donovan Solano, What are you kind of doing to get up to speed on the newcomers on the team, and you know, paint the picture for your listeners about what they are like, and you know, how they're contributing and what they're like off the field? How does that process work in season for you?
Yeah, there's a couple different pieces of it, right? You know, I mean, like your basic baseball information, I pretty much have, because we've seen those guys, you know, Solano, it seems like, for the last 20 years, and Arise for the last several. So, you know, I already have my stuff on them, you know, sort of what I would do as a visiting player. So that's a copy-paste job. And then, yeah, as you said, there's a critical component of getting to know them. And that's, for me, kind of a slow play thing. You know, I'm not going to jump down there the first day that Luis Arise is here and be like, hey, let's talk. You know, I'm try and get some information about, you know, his life or what he's into or his personality or anything like that. But that'll be something, you know, that I work on over the course of the next couple of weeks. And yeah, just continue to get to know the guy, kind of try and understand him best I can as a human being, because I think that's such an important part of broadcasting is, you know, humanizing the guys. And so, yeah, it'll be an ongoing thing as it is with, you know, everybody else, trying to get to know them and be able to, you know, as accurately as I can paint a picture, not only what kind of baseball player they are, but what kind of guy they are. But, you know, from like a baseball numbers standpoint, yeah, I mean, these are known guys, right? It's not, you know, some dude that's kind of like quad A or, you know, that we haven't heard of that much or maybe we've never seen before. You know, Luis Arise has won the last two batting titles. So a lot of information about him is out there. And boy, what a fun addition. I mean, 4-for-6 in the first game was ridiculous.
Pretty incredible.
Awesome.
One thing we haven't even brought up yet is his first base celebration on
a
single.
Yes, where he just beats the S out of Macias.
David Macias needs hazard pay.
Yeah,
the guy,
flak jacket.
Yeah, he just wails on his first base coach.
Can I start doing that to you?
No, you can't.
I'm begging you one time.
We need to get to the bottom of this. Jesse, have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, he did it. He did it in Miami. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not new for him, but, you know, what did Macias say about it? Like, I was told, but I wasn't really ready for it.
Yeah. Macias said he had heard about it, but he had never actually seen it or, like, watched it before. So I think, you know, when someone tells you, hey, he's going to, like, you know, karate chop your chest, you're like, okay. And maybe you just assume it's, like, playful or, you know, like anything else that happens over there. And then all of a sudden he comes over and it's like, oh, he's trying to break you in half. And like, if you'd seen, I guess, the videos, you know, previously, you would have known that. But David's got more important things to do. Yeah, I mean, the good news is Macias might not be the biggest guy. He's pretty jacked.
He's jacked.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, like, some of us do not have that sort of pectoral integrity to be able to.
Your chest would have caved
that.
In. Yeah, your chest caves in. Yeah. My chest caves in. Ben and Paul, a little more sturdy, but our chests cave in when he does that. There's no
Has there ever been a first base coach put on the injured list for 15 days?
I would just turn my back. I'd let him hit me in the back. I'd rather get kicked in the nuts than that. I mean, he is like, he's wearing it out, man.
All that adrenaline.
Oh, yeah.
Just whack. God.
Fantastic. Hey, will you be down in the clubhouse seeing the guys today at all?
Yeah.
Will you tell Crony we said congratulations on his pending nuptials? Mrs. Wood's not very happy about the news this morning, but wanted to, if you could, pass that along from us. Congratulations to Jakey, tying the knot. Very lovely young lady, so we just wanted to pass along our congrats.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. You're a mensch, my friend.
By the way, everyone in our chat is now talking incessantly about Chicago food.
It's so insane.
What's your favorite Chicago treat? Is it the dog? Is it the deep dish? Is it the Italian beef? Do you have a preference when you go to Chicago as to what you're going to indulge in if you do indulge?
So one of my like little personal things that I've developed over the years is I try not to be cliche with food in cities.
Good call.
Now, you know, it's because I'm lucky enough that I get to go to all these places as often as I do, right? Like, so if I didn't travel for work and I was coming to Chicago, yeah, I'm hitting the Chicago dog. I'm hitting the deep dish, even though I don't love deep dish.
Same.
You know, I'm doing like all the things. I'm checking all the boxes. You know, I'm lucky enough, like I was here last April and last October. I'm here again. You know, I'll be here twice next year. So it's kind of like, all right, like I don't feel the need to do that. And so, you know, I kind of have developed my little roster of spots, you know, in all these cities that I'm lucky enough to go to all the time. And you know, so there's like a little sushi place around the corner here that if we had a night off, which we don't, you know, that's probably where I would go. It's like five tables and it's just incredible and I love it. And, you know, it's kind of like, all right, if you have a special night out, you know, Chicago also, very good steakhouse city. When we were here last April, we had a night off also, and Tony and I went with Boog Shambi. He took us to a one of these like classic old Chicago steakhouses, and it was just off the charts. I don't remember the name.
Gibson's maybe.
Very well pot. I've heard of all of them. That's the problem. So, in my brain, it's kind of mixed up.
There's one in every corner. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, this is obviously an elite food city, but again, we came in late Sunday night, and then night game, day game, so no real opportunity to go out to dinner this trip, but that's okay. Them's the breaks.
All right, let's get to the Incorporator here. Again, Padres 440 start against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. This one comes courtesy of Zach in our YouTube chat. Pauly, today's Incorporator word is?
Zaftig.
Zaftig, Z-A-F-T-I-G. It means having a
German.
Full rounded figure, plump.
Oh, there we go.
What? I like that.
Pretty good start to a road trip. Padres have taken three of the first four. They will have game two at Wrigley Field against the Cubs this afternoon. Another 4:40 first pitch, 3:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. But joining us in just a moment after we check traffic, the voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, will be with us from the Windy City. That's coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Got a little relief out of Escondido on 715. Accident has cleared before the 78. We still have this other crash up ahead, though, at Valley Parkway. It's in the center divide in the clearing stage. Now westbound 78 past College. There is a collision involving three cars. It's in the center divide. South 5 Coastline before Loma Santa Fe. Accident involving a couple cars. That is over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
So Jesse is with us, and now that they have the balanced schedule, Jesse, you're going to every ballpark at least every other year in baseball. But I've got to imagine when you go to certain cities makes a difference. May in Chicago seems like a great time to visit the Windy City. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a top tier stop, top tier ballpark, top tier city. But yes, it can be impacted by weather. Last year we were here, wasn't that long ago. It was late April. So not that different in terms of the calendar, but very, very different in terms of the weather. We were freezing last year. We had the hand warmers in the booth. That's like the kind of nights that we had last year. And then yesterday was absolutely, gorgeous. It was cool. It was windy, but it was beautiful. It's raining today. It's supposed to be fine by the time the game starts. But definitely. Not necessarily the kind of place you want to run into the first couple weeks of the season because of the cold, but we're also wimps. So, that's a big part of that.
What's the worst combination like for you? Like St. Louis in August or where's the dreaded spots on potentially on the baseball calendar?
Yeah, probably St. Louis or Cincinnati in August. One of those inland, humid. Because, Miami and Tampa, granted, they're domes, but, you can escape it a little bit with, a coastal breeze. But those sort of landlocked Mississippi River, Ohio over late summer humid, those are the ones. I grew up in South Florida, one of the most humid places in the country. We had a game in Cincinnati a couple of years ago in the summer where I was coming up, the tunnel from the clubhouse to the field for – before the first game, and I walked up into the dugout, and I swear to you, I have never felt humidity like that in my life. It was the worst feeling I've ever had in terms of weather in my life on this planet. And it was just, a normal day in Cincinnati in August.
What do you do on a day like today where you're in a hotel room in Chicago, beautiful city outside, but it's dumping rain? I mean, is that like I'm catching up on emails, I'm catching up on shows, watch Baby Reindeer, by the way, on Netflix. If you haven't yet, it's brilliant. You'll love it. Do you catch up on shows or you're like, all right, I'll go out and brave it. I need a Chicago-style dog. What do you do today?
Honestly, today was like I slept in. I try and get a little sleep, catch up. I'm peeking out the window now. It looks like it might have cleared up a little bit for the time being. But yeah, I think today, just sort of how I'm feeling, I'll use it as a rest day for sure. Try and be lazy, hang around the bed, go get a cup of coffee, something like that.
Sounds
and then
beautiful.
Just try and try and relax. Yeah, you don't get to do that very often.
That sounds so wonderful. I texted Jesse last night and, you know, priming the pump for today's appearance. And I said, look, I personally don't really enjoy bullpen management talk. I know it's a necessary evil of the job. And I just wanted to get your take, Jesse, not on last night's game, but bullpen management in general. I told the guys this morning, I told the audience too, I'm about 99% pretty much going to side with the manager, right? I mean, these guys make good money. They are paid to get out. Sometimes they don't, and you have to change your plan.
You're not just telling Mike Schilt you disagree. You're also telling Ruben Niebla you disagree.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I kind of put it on. I put it on the players 99% of the time. Now, if you're dragging Yuki Matsui out there 5 days in a row, like, that may be mismanagement. And things like that have happened in the big leagues. But kind of wanted to get your take on last night's game and bullpen management in general.
You know, I think I've said this to you guys before, but it's probably worth repeating a couple times a year. I think that as fans, and I put myself in this category, there is probably not a less understood part of baseball than bullpen management. You know, I think we all have a pretty good understanding, and I think people who randomly watch and listen and go to the games have a pretty good understanding of, like, all right, you know the mechanics of most things. You understand why the batting order kind of is the way it is. You understand, all right, it's probably time to take the starting pitcher out. All those sort of managerial decisions we like to discuss, I think we make very informed conversation about. But I think when it comes to bullpen management, there's probably the biggest gap for, like, your average fan in terms of what they do and do not understand. The average fan is not sitting at home at night charting, all right, here's the last time this guy pitched. Here's how many pitches he threw. Here's what happens generally when he goes back-to-back. Oh, you know what? 2 out of 4 is okay, but 3 out of 5, probably not for this guy, but it's okay for that guy. Well, you know what? He had a lot of stress pitches the last time he threw because he came in with the bases loaded and one out. Like, all those things are the things that Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla are talking about and discussing and using to make their decisions. And those just, frankly, aren't things that, you know, people on their couch or even me sometimes or Tony are going to be thinking about in the moment, because we're just not thinking that way. We're not pitching coaches. We're not bullpen coaches. We're not managers. And then, as you said, sometimes it comes down to, hey, this is who you got. And, yeah, like, this is their spot. This is their role. And, like, this is who needs to be out there right now. So I think it's, again, I'm not, you know, saying fans don't understand, but I think those of us outside of the room understand less about this piece of the game than probably any other piece of the game that we sort of talk about with any kind of regularity. And look, there are no brainers. Like, you know, up to in the ninth inning, you know, unless he's been, you know, run into the ground, Robert Suarez is coming out. Like, we could all make that decision. But a lot of the in-between ones, you know, especially in a game like last night, all right, it's 6-0, it's 6-2, you know, those are the tweeners. And, you know, sometimes you just got to run the guy out there who's the guy for that situation. And obviously you have to pivot and make a decision, you know, if something goes sideways. But I think a lot of it is obvious and a lot of it's common sense. But when it's not, I think that's probably one of the less understood things we all talk about.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I said earlier, I think, like, the plan yesterday was probably Yuki Matsui so efficient, get 2 innings out of him, you got the big lead, yeah, and then anyone can do the last 2 innings, you save your bullpen for the next day. Didn't work out that day, and all of a sudden, Mike Schilt had to manage by the seat of his pants, but, you know, got the job done thanks to some incredible work by Robert Suarez, especially there in the eighth and the ninth inning. Jesse Agler is with his voice of the Padres. And Jesse, I know you spend, like, the offseason prepping and putting together your files and notes on each player, so I'm curious, when there's new additions in the middle of the year, like Luis Arraez and Donovan Solano, what are you kind of doing to get up to speed on the newcomers on the team and, you know, paint the picture for, you know, your listeners about what they are like and, you know, how they're contributing and what they're like off the field? How does that process work in season for you?
Yeah, there's a couple different pieces of it, right? You know, I mean, like, your basic baseball information I pretty much have, because we've seen those guys, you know, Solano, it seems like, for the last 20 years, and Arraez for the last several. So, you know, I already have my stuff on them, you know, sort of what I would do as a visiting player. So that's a copy paste job. And then, yeah, as you said, you know, there's a critical component of getting to know them. And that's, for me, kind of a slow play thing. You know, I'm not going to jump down there the first day that Luis Arraez is here and be like, hey, let's talk. you know, I'm you know, try and get some information about, you know, his life or what he's into or his personality or anything like that. But that'll be something, you know, that I work on over the course of the next couple of weeks. And yeah, just continue to get to know the guy, you know, kind of try and understand him best I can as a human being, because I think that's such an important part of broadcasting is, you know, humanizing the guys. And so, yeah, it'll be an ongoing thing as it is with, you know, everybody else, trying to get to know them and be able to, you know, as accurately as I can paint a picture, not only what kind of baseball player they are, but what kind of guy they are. But, you know, from like a baseball numbers standpoint, yeah, I mean, these are known guys, right? It's not, you know, some dude that's kind of like quad A or, you know, that we haven't heard of that much or maybe we've never seen before. You know, Luis Arraez has won the last two batting titles. So a lot of information about him is out there. And boy, what a fun addition. I mean, 4-for-6 in the first game was ridiculous.
Pretty incredible.
It was awesome.
One thing we haven't even brought up yet is his first base celebration on
a
single.
Yes, where he just beats the S out of Macias.
David Macias needs hazard pay.
Yeah,
the guy,
flak jacket.
Yeah, he just wails on his first base coach.
Can I start doing that to you?
No, you can't.
I'm begging you one time.
We need to get to the bottom of this. Jesse, have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, he did it. He did it in Miami. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not new for him, but you know, what did Macias say about it? Like, I was told, but I wasn't really ready for it.
Yeah. Macias said he had heard about it, but he had never actually seen it or, like, watched it before. So I think, you know, when someone tells you, hey, he's going to, like, you know, karate chop your chest, you're like, okay. And maybe you just assume it's, like, playful or, you know, like anything else that happens over there. And then all of a sudden he comes over and it's like, oh, he's trying to break you in half. And like, if you'd seen, I guess, the videos, you know, previously, you would have known that. But David's got more important things to do. Yeah, I mean, the good news is Macias might not be the biggest guy. He's pretty jacked.
He's jacked.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, like, some of us do not have that sort of pectoral integrity to be able to.
Your chest would have caved
that.
In. Yeah, your chest caves in. Yeah. My chest caves in. Ben and Paul, a little more sturdy, but our chests cave in when he does that. There's no.
Has there ever been a first base coach put on the injured list for 15 days?
I would just turn my back. I'd let him hit me in the back. I'd rather get kicked in the nuts than that. I mean, he is like, he's wearing it out, man.
All that adrenaline.
Oh, yeah.
Just whack. God.
Fantastic. Hey, will you, will you be down in the clubhouse seeing the guys today at all?
Yeah.
Will you tell Crony we said congratulations on his pending nuptials? Mrs. Wood's not very happy about the news this morning, but wanted to, if you could, pass that along from us. Congratulations to Jakey, tying the knot. Very lovely young lady, so we just wanted to pass along our congrats.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. You're a mensch, my friend.
By the way, everyone in our chat is now talking incessantly about Chicago food.
It's so insane.
What's your favorite Chicago treat? Is it the dog? Is it the deep dish? Is it the Italian beef? Do you have a preference when you go to Chicago as to what you're going to indulge in if you do indulge?
So one of my like little personal things that I've developed over the years is I try not to be cliche with food in cities.
Good call.
Now, you know, it's because I'm lucky enough that I get to go to all these places as often as I do, right? Like, so if I didn't travel for work and I was coming to Chicago, yeah, I'm hitting the Chicago dog. I'm hitting the deep dish, even though I don't love deep dish.
Same.
You know, I'm doing like all the things. I'm checking all the boxes. You know, I'm lucky enough, like I was here last April and last October. I'm here again. You know, I'll be here twice next year. So it's kind of like, all right, like I don't feel the need to do that. And so, you know, I kind of have developed my little roster of spots, you know, in all these cities that I'm lucky enough to go to all the time. And you know, so there's like a little sushi place around the corner here that if we had a night off, which we don't, you know, that's probably where I would go. It's like 5 tables and it's just incredible and I love it. And, you know, it's kind of like, all right, if you have a special night out, you know, Chicago also very good steakhouse city. When we were here last April, we had a night off also. And Tony and I went with Boob Shambi. He took us to a, you know, one of these like classic old Chicago steakhouses. And it was just,
which
you
one?
Know, off
Do you
the
remember?
Charts. I don't remember the name.
Gibson's maybe?
I can very well pot. I've heard of all of them. That's the problem. So like in my brain, it's kind of mixed up.
There's one in every corner.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So this is obviously an elite food city, but again, you know, we came in late Sunday night and then night game, day game. So no real opportunity to go out to dinner this trip, but that's okay. Them's the breaks.
All right, let's get to the Incorporator here. Again, Padres 4:40 start against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. This one comes courtesy of Zach in our YouTube chat. Pauly, today's incorporator word is?
Zaftig.
Zaftig. Z-A-F-T-I-G. It means having a
German.
Full, great, rounded figure. Plump.
Oh, there we go.
What? I like that.
Yeah. Zaftig.
Zaftig.
Zaftig. And it's an actual English word?
I think it's from the Yiddish, but it is in the English dictionary, in the Oxford English Dictionary, yes.
All right. That's a really good one, because I'm always kind of looking for, like, good, gentle adjectives to describe people. And you never want to sound like you're taking shots at somebody.
Right.
But, like, you also, on radio, you know, you want to paint the picture. And yeah, you want to, you know, give people a little bit of a sense of what someone might look like, yeah, without being cruel about it.
I saw so today's the anniversary word of the Zaftig Bartolo Colon hitting a home run
8 years ago today. Yeah,
don't use that one, though. I just gave you an easy out.
One of the great moments in Padre history.
It's, I mean, exactly,
you right? You draw a pretty straight line between that and the Tatis trade. So that's good. Thank you. Love that word. Good job, Zach.
Zach with the contribution. Jesse, have a good broadcast today. Safe trip back to San Diego. We'll see you this weekend at Petco Park for Padres Dodgers. Always a fun weekend.
Oh, it'll be good.
Thank you, buddy.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, joining us each and every Tuesday morning. And I'm going to Friday's game at Petco Park, the home stand opener against the Dodgers.
Watch your back.
You're insane.
I'm insane?
Yeah.
Watch your back.
Do I have a lot of enemies out there?
Well, you're a big Dave Roberts fan, as I look over to the picture of you and Dave Roberts pointing at each other. Ben,
you do a great job.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You doing the, you and Dave going to get together before the game?
Not planning on it. I'm just going as a fan on Friday.
A fan of who? Which team?
Padres.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious because there's a picture I'm looking at right now.
Sitting on third base side, the Dodger blue.
You know, I first met Dave when he was on the Padres, right?
I get it.
He was a Padre when I first met him and became fond of him.
Yes, correct.
I'm slowly kind of weaning myself off of him, but I did like him a lot when he was on the Padres.
He's a hard habit to break.
He was, for sure.
I hope he stays forever, to be honest.
Some of us have drugs or alcohol as our vices.
He's weaning off of Dave Roberts. Yeah, nicotine for me, such a big one.
Yeah, remember about 2 weeks ago when the Dodgers were like, they're not that good.
They look really good.
They've looked pretty good lately.
They look really good.
Shohei Ohtani, this is so annoying. So most times when a player goes through like giant scandal, distraction, it impacts them negatively.
Biggest global story.
Somehow the Dodgers are spinning this. Well, now that Shota Imanaga is gone.
Shota Imanaga.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Ife.
Zuhara.
Shota Imanaga pitches today. Yes.
Now that Ife Mizuhara is gone, we're having so much better direct communication with Shohei. Everything is so much better in our world. This is the best thing that ever happened to us.
It's
giant
incredible
gambling scandal. Yeah. They've turned it into a positive, and he is hitting
two home runs a
better
night.
Better than they could have even hoped for. He's had his 11th last night.
11.
Right?
He's got 11
leads all
bombs
of Major League Baseball. Yep. His slugging percentage is over 700 right now. It's nuts that they've turned this into a positive.
Jack says he was also a Dave Roberts fan, but he did the Roberts patch.
Oh, the patch.
And it helped him wean off, helped him quit.
Which Robert's gum helps.
Robert's gum, yeah. Yeah, you get to chew it and tuck it in behind your lip.
Dave Roberts Zin. You can get one of those.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I watched a little bit of their game last night after the Padres game ended. I flipped over, wanted to see Walker Buehler pitch, but he was already out of the game. And just kind of watching them. You know what's funny? It's an observation I made. You can hear Oral Hershiser running his tongue over his teeth on the mic like this. And then Joe Davis was talking. I was kind of wired after the Padres game, watching Bobby Fastballs come in and just, I put on the Dodger game and I was like, so sleepy. Oh my God. The most boring glass of milk.
Oral noises and, bothering you
oral,
on like, the broadcast. Oral noises.
Those butter teeth running his tongue over them. Joe Davis, I was like, bro, people love this guy. I do not get it. I don't get it. It's not because it's the Dodgers. If he was the Cubs broadcaster, I'd be like, wake up. Let's go. You got a game here. Pretty exciting one. Let's go. Get after it.
All right, Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindle Report, including some power ballad talk.
Yes.
Woods is looking forward to this.
Yes.
Coming up next,
maybe
final
not
hour.
I don't know.
Maybe not. And AJ Preller at 9:30 on The Fan.